Heavenly Father, we worship you and we thank you for whom you are. Our Heavenly Father who loves us. Father, we thank you that you love us because you are love. Father, we just give you praise and glory and honor for the testimonies tonight. We see your mighty hand moving upon us in this new season. And Lord, this is nothing compared to what you still have prepared for us and have planned for us. And so tonight, Lord, I just believe and I trust you for the word that you've placed in my spirit to rise to my understanding in wisdom and in revelation, that I will articulate it correctly, the way that you want me to give it to your people. Father, we thank you that you lead us and guide us into the truth by the Spirit of truth, who is the Holy Spirit. And your word says, as we know the truth, we shall be set free. Father, I declare tonight that we will become even more free from that which holds us back, from us entering into the fullness of that which you have for us as business people. We will enter more and more into the fullness of what you have for us. Lord, you're expanding our tents. You're wanting us to expand our tents and to flow with you and to lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. And so we trust you, Lord. Lord, we open our hearts and our minds for that which you have for us in this great new season. Thank you, Lord, that you enable us and that you help us to reposition at this time. We glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the third one where we speak about repositioning for success in the new season. And the Lord is leading me to continue with this, and we will get into the other aspects, as I said. But it is imperative. As I said to you, we are at the end of 6,000 years or 6 days, according to the scripture, where it says that 1 day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is 1 day. And that's what 1 Peter 3 verse 8 says that. We're also at the end of 2,000 years, entering into the third millennium of resurrection, because Christ was raised on the third day. Amen. He is the resurrection and life. There's a resurrection coming in the body of Christ. There's something fresh and new coming in the body of Christ. And as business people, we have to enter into this thing by faith. But we have to understand it. We have to discern it. And I've been prompted by the Spirit to say that over and over. Amen. And last week we shared that we were created for the spiritual realm where God dwells. Remember, we spoke about the stork that flies in the heavens. It makes its transition when the seasons change in the heavens. It doesn't walk to Palestine. It doesn't swim to Europe or something like that. It was created to fly in the heavens. That's why it's got beautiful wings, aerodynamically shaped and the whole thing. And they have the ability to discern when the seasons change to the date, March 21. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to understand that. We've got to flow in the Spirit. The Spirit of God's got to flow through us. He's got to flow in us. We've got to hear what He's saying. I remember we used to, as a child, go to Scottsboro sometimes. And there's a railway line that runs parallel to the beach there. Now, the greatest fun that we had was we took coins as children. And then they were still the big pennies and the 1 cent pieces. And remember those big yellow copper ones. And it was an amazing thing for me. Because you put them on the track and then the train comes over and then it makes it completely this big flat coin, you know. And if sometimes you couldn't peel it off, it would sort of become part of the railway track. But most of the time you could get it off. And it was an amazing thing. But now you didn't want to get run over by a train, because you saw what it did to the coin. So what did we do? We would go to the track, and we'd look left and right. Okay, no train. You'd have some of our friends standing a little bit further, some watchmen. We had them a little bit further that way and that way. And then one of us, we would put our ear on the track, and you could actually hear if the train was coming. So if we didn't hear anything, we would put the coins there, and we'd step back, because for some reason they didn't like us doing that. So we would hide in the bushes and then the train would come past, and When the trains passed, we couldn't wait. Then we get our coins, and they're all flat. And in the same way, we need to keep our ear close to the railway line of the Spirit so we can hear what's happening. There's an approaching move of the Spirit. We're already somewhat into it, and it's affecting the entire body of Christ. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But each one of us, each one has a different call. And if you're a pastor of a church, then you've got to enter into this new season by faith in line with what God has for you as a pastor of that church. But if you're a businessman or a businesswoman, then you've got to discern what God is saying to you. You've got to enter in. You've got to keep your ear on the spiritual track. We're in a season, and we've heard this for years. And I mean, I've been listening to the Spirit of God for better part of 10, 12, 15 years. The Joseph Daniel Company is coming. Supernatural businessmen and women. Joseph and Daniel. What's so unique about Joseph and Daniel? They understood their seasons and they entered into them. Now, if you look at Joseph, he was a little bit ahead of his season. That's how I look at it. He was saying things. He was speaking about the dreams of God that God had given him to an audience, his brothers, and they were not really ready to receive that word. He should have rather kept quiet. But he was a little bit ahead of time. But yet God lets everything work together for the good of those who love him. And so they became jealous and etc. And remember, they told his father that an animal had killed him and all that. But yet God had a plan. And so he was taken off to Egypt and he sat in prison and he was forgotten in prison and he could dream. He could dream accurately and he could explain the dreams. And there he was, still in prison. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Joseph. It's a cartoon movie. And it was done very accurately. Historically, everything. Scripturally, it's very accurate. It's one of the most accurate historical portrayals of Joseph's life. And you see his frustration. And then he thinks he's completely forgotten. Nobody's ever going to remember him. But yet, God moves upon his life and takes him out. But all those years in prison and being betrayed by his brothers and sisters, or his brothers, and did he have sisters? He may have had sisters, but they only in those days they only spoke about the brothers. But anyway, it forced him to rely on God. There was no one else he could trust. And it taught him humility, and it taught him to trust God and not man. Because Scripture says we must not trust in kings and princes. We need to trust God first and discern by the Spirit what he's saying in a relationship. But at the end of the day, what happened to Joseph? Just overnight, God rose him up and he became prominent. He was just under the king, prime minister of Egypt. How's that? He built a relationship with God. And so he's a type of Christ. He was a deliverer for God's people. But he was not only a deliverer of God's people. And listen to this. We need to understand this, especially as business people. Christians need to understand this. You know, because we're so such a holy huddle. We huddle together as believers, you know, and the people out there in the world, yeah, well, they're heathen, you know. No. If you look at Jesus, the people that he fellowshipped with the most, they were the heathen out there. He didn't like the religious types, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why were they called Sadducees? Because they had long faces. They were very sad, you see. And the Pharisees, they could see very far, and they could see Jesus coming already, and so they would persecute him, you know. They were Pharisees, you know. But Jesus loved sinners. Because there's one thing about a sinner. He doesn't pretend to be anything else that he's not. And we tend to become religious and pretend sometimes to be someone that we're not. Joseph was amongst the heathen. He was in Egypt. They were worshipping the sun god Ra and all of that stuff. And we know from history that, I mean, it was just Baal worship, the whole thing. And it was just not good. It's not the kind of place where we will find Christians today. My son, my daughter, I want you to go and work at the casino. Get thee behind me, Satan. No, no, no. This is the Lord speaking. I want you to go and work at the casino. Get thee behind me, Satan. We rebuke the Lord for many times for what? Because he wants us to make a difference there. We are the salt and the light, but sometimes we are so scared to be the salt and the light. And what an opportunity as business people we have to be salt and light. Joseph's life, he was not only a type of a redeemer for Israel. He was a type of redeemer for the entire known world of the day. Because they came from all the nations, they came because they heard that provision was made. In the time of famine, there was provision made, not only for God's people. There was so much provision made. There was provision for God's people and the rest of the known world. What does it tell you about us today? Us four no more. Listen, man, we should be so wealthy that we can bless our community. Whether they're saved or not saved. Who's this person that did this thing here? No, he's that Christian from that and that ministry. Christian? Didn't know that Christians did this. We need to make an impact. And you have a fantastic opportunity as a businessman and a businesswoman to do that. Look at Joseph's life. When he understood, because after all of that time in prison and being put on the shelf, so to speak, all of a sudden he understood his purpose. And he did a fantastic job. Amen? And things were restored to his life. I said just now, the Joseph Daniel Company. Who's Daniel? Daniel, we looked at some of the historical writings as I was researching that. He was about 10 or 11, around about that age. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were forcefully taken from Israel, Jerusalem. And we worked out, they walked about 300 or 400 kilometers or something. They walked. Yet they stood. These youngsters stood. Now imagine, 10 or 11 year old, here they come into Babylon, where Nebuchadnezzar is the king. And I mean, he was the most powerful king in the entire earth, or the known world of the day. So here they come into Babylon. And there are these statues and idols as they walk down the main street, as they get paraded with everyone else. 10 or 11 years old. Must be quite scary. And there were these altars where they were sacrificing little babies and all that. It was a scary place because remember, they were taught about Babylon and what happened there. And so, yeah, they get taken away, captive. Yet these youngsters, there was such an impartation of the word of God in their lives. They stood. How powerful is that? I mean, yeah, we are. We've been serving the Lord for many years and sometimes we can't handle the pressure. These little kids had to walk all that distance to Babylon where they knew this is a terrible place. We don't know. Maybe they're going to sacrifice us. Who knows? But yet, they trusted in the Lord. They were firm in their belief. And we know the stories of Daniel. You know, he got chucked in the lion's den and they got thrown in the fire and etc., etc. And God came through every time. And he was faithful and he was faithful and he was faithful. And then Nebuchadnezzar promoted him and made him what? The chief sorcerer. The head of the witch doctors. Because he could what? Also dreams. And interpretation of dreams. So what did Nebuchadnezzar know? Well, this oak's dreams are very accurate, so I'll make him the chief of the witch doctors or sorcerers. And what did Daniel do? No. I can't be the head of these heathen here. These are guys are all... No. His testimony was impeccable. His lifestyle was impeccable. His God came through for him. In Babylon. We call the world that we move around in, we call it Babylon. The system of this world. But you know what? You and I are called into that system. And it's the season to reposition, to enter into that system. You don't have to be scared of demons are going to jump on you and stuff like that. That's a load of baloney. They can't. The blood of Jesus is between you and the enemy. The scripture tells us that the light is greater than darkness. We don't switch the dark on and then the light leaves. Even in the natural life we live here, if we switch these lights off, it's dark. But when we switch the light on, the darkness leaves. You have the true light within you. You go into that secular situation. You go in with that business deal. It doesn't matter who you see or whatever. I don't care if they're standing there and doing 50 mantras or something on their head, and the incense is burning in the corner over there. I don't care about that. But you want to tell me that a dead God like that is greater than your God, who is the only God? There are no other gods before him. They serve dead gods. They serve idols that can't speak. They cannot see, the scriptures tell us. So you and I can go into this. I remember when I used to be in the hairdressing trade, when I sold chemicals to the hairdressing salons, I used to call on certain areas of town where people were serving Hindu gods and so on. And this one particular person, he had his little Hindu shrine in the corner of his hair salon. And what he used to do, he used to astral project. And then he would tell his clients, no, last night I went there and so on, so on, so. So guess what? I walk in there. And so I'm full of the anointing of God and I come in there. I mean, what am I scared of? And I'm fascinated by the little idols. And I say, what's that? No, that's my little, you know. And then he tells me, yeah. So I said, okay, that's... So he says, what do you believe? I said, well, I believe... in the man that rides the white horse. What are you talking about? Anyway, so, and that starts the conversation very quickly. Now, I'm there to do business, remember? So I'm on company time. But on the other hand, when God puts me in a situation, every place that my foot shall tread upon, he has given to me. So he said he astral projected. He did this and all that. And he says, you know, I've got to go into a trance. And I got to do this, and then I see into the spirit world and all of that. I said, that's great. But you know what? As I'm standing right here in front of you, I am in the spirit world. I don't have to do a trance. What do you mean? I said, no, I have Christ within me, and he's the Lord. He's the author of the spiritual realm. I said, I can see into the spiritual realm. You want me to tell you something about your life? How can you do that? I said, because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that inspires prophecy. I said, God can do all sorts of stuff for you. Really? See, I'm not scared. Why should I be scared? Or he's going to curse you on something. Come on, man. You want to tell me a little curse is bigger than my God? My God, the scripture says, he takes one step over the whole universe like it. Remember, we spoke about that. He measures the span of the heavens with his hand. Come on, a little curse of somebody that sits on a speck of dust called earth. I mean, what do you think it sounds like when that person starts cursing? I mean, how what do you think God hears? It must sound like a mouth. Somebody trying to curse. I mean, come on. And you and I are called into that realm, into that Babylonian system, to go and make a difference. And remember something. They base everything that they do in that system on the money. And they will deal and hook and crook and carry on. But there's a generation. The Joseph Daniel company is now to manifest and do it the right way. How did you get that deal? How did you do that? How did you do that and that and that? Well, let me tell you something. Just come over here. Let me explain it to you. Amen? We're in a new season. Joseph Daniel Company of men and women of God that are going to impact this generation. Not saying it's going to be easy. Walking by faith is not always easy. But with God, nothing is impossible because faith pleases Him. And that's why we enter into the season, by faith. You were created for the spiritual realm. And we spoke a little bit about that last week. And we spoke about it, the fact that God has given us the measure of faith, remember? And 2 Corinthians 4:13 says the following. I have the Amplified Bible here. He says, yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote. You have the same spirit of faith that was in Christ, that was in the old patriarchs of our faith, Abraham, Moses, all. You have the same spirit of faith because that faith comes from God. And we saw that last week. God gives you the faith, that measure of faith. And you exercise that measure of faith like a muscle, like a bodybuilder. You train those muscles. When you start bodybuilding or training with weights, you pick up very light weights. But as you get stronger, the muscles grow and you can pick up very heavy weights. Faith works the same. You can't believe God for a golden Rolls Royce if you have not yet believed God for a pair of socks. Simple. And we get disappointed. We sometimes make shipwreck of our faith by believing too big. We need to believe under the unction of the Spirit, step by step, line upon line, and precept upon precept, the Scripture says. So we grow in Him, believing Him bigger and bigger. Amen. We have the same spirit of faith as He had who wrote. And then He says, I have believed, and therefore have I spoken. We too believe, and therefore we speak. That's why we declare at the beginning of these meetings, we speak our faith out. We declare the word of God. If I believe, I will speak it. What the heart is full of, the mouth will run over with. And that is how you discern. That is how you judge a person. In a sense, spiritually, judge them where they are at. You trust the Lord to ask pertinent questions. You do that in business. You get the client or the person that you're dealing with, you get them to talk about their situation, talk about themselves. And they are like trees. The Scripture says human beings are like trees. And their fruit will be shown. It'll come out of their mouth. Before you know it, they will say something and the Lord will say, did you notice what they said? And then you know where they are. You know exactly where they are. Amen. I mean, you know exactly when you talk to a person and you speak to them for 15 or 20 minutes, Elise, and in the 15 or 20 minutes, they don't say anything really to you, but they've spoken for 15 or 20 minutes. You know, there's something wrong. That person's hiding something. You see? But you know what? We have the advantage. We have the gifts of the Spirit. God will actually tell you what he's hiding or she is hiding. Amen. So we started talking a little bit about faith. And then I said, we are in the midst of a spiritual change of season. We're in that thing. When you and I walk in accordance with the leading of the Spirit, who is our natural life-sustaining element. He is our life-sustaining element. We will clearly recognize the signs of the approach of a new season. Okay, by now we understand we're in that new season. We've spoken about that at length. We discern by knowing God's will for our lives, and this by the renewal of the mind with the Spirit-anointed word. And we saw Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. We said, first of all, we said, you make a decisive dedication of your body. I would say your entire being, spirit, soul, and body, finances, relationships. Say, Lord, here I am. I place my life on the altar for you to use as you see fit. You know what always strikes me about, you know, John the Baptist said, he said that he prayed that Christ would increase so that he may decrease. And I've heard many people, they put it the other way around. Lord, I pray that I may decrease so that Christ may increase. Which means I'm trying to decrease myself so that Christ may increase. No. If I could turn these lights brighter and brighter and brighter. There'll be less and less and less darkness in you. So I say, let the Lord Jesus Christ increase in me. And automatically, by default, those who know computer terms know what default means. That default is not negative. That means that's the thing that it does. That's the right way. By default, the light will just become less. The darkness will become less. I will decrease. My old nature will decrease as Christ increases. We're in that season where we have to manifest Christ in the business world, in the marketplace. Let's look at Hebrews 8 verse 10. We dedicate ourselves entirely to the Lord. And then verse 2 says, be not transformed to this world. This is still in Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your entire mind, the Amplified says. And we spoke about it, remember? To renovate. We discussed the couch. You renovate a couch in your lounge. And he says, when your mind is renovated, you will discern the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. That's how you find out what he says. But you first got to dedicate your life. As business people at this time, we have to do that. There is no place for shady deals. There's no place for underhandedness. If we want, as Annika said at the beginning of the meeting, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Listen. You and I got to walk justly before the Lord. Pure. Amen. Hebrews 8 verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their minds, even upon their innermost thoughts and understanding, and engrave them upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. For this is the covenant that I will make. Do we have a new covenant? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we do have a new covenant. That's an accepted fact. Which means, if we are part of that covenant, and we've entered into Christ by being born again, and entered into the kingdom of heaven by being born again, he then says, I will imprint my laws upon their minds. But you and I have to co-labor with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a puppet master. Because if he were, everybody would be saved. We'd get saved overnight and tomorrow we go to heaven. He made us, God made us in his image to make decisions ourselves, to say yes or no. Where animals and creation can't do that. They just go with God's plan. You and I can say yes or no. People can say, no, I don't want to be saved. And then they are not saved. They go to hell. It's a decision they make. Jesus said, you must be born again. He said that to Nicodemus. You must be born again. That's an instruction. You must be born again. Jesus wants you to be born again, but he cannot make you be born again. He can move upon your life by the Spirit. He can bring situations across your path. He can bring people across your path to preach the gospel to you. But you make the final decision. And you and I enter into this new covenant by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, by being born again, and we're in this new covenant. And then as we co-labor with the Holy Spirit, he imprints his laws upon our minds, even upon the innermost thoughts and understanding, says here in the Amplified, and engraves them upon our hearts. So the heart, the head and the heart come into agreement. And where any two or three shall agree, as touching anything on earth, it shall be done of our Father in heaven. That's the first place of agreement. You get your heart and your head to agree. If you're a husband and a wife, both as individuals, you get your heart and your head to agree, and then you agree together as two people. And you agree with the Lord with his word. And it'll happen. But you've got to have your mind renewed. At this juncture in time, we have to do that. Right now, as you listen to me, you and I are part of what is probably the greatest change of season this world has ever seen. And we touched on some of that, and I'm still going to get to some more of that in some of the next meetings. In spite of what the so-called prophets of doom have to say, God is ushering us into a new season and outpouring of His Spirit. And He is in full control of what is going on around us. Do not be alarmed by the things that you see, earthquakes and rumors of war and all of that kind of stuff. Yes, it's challenging. You've got to believe your way out of that. You've got to believe to be at the right place at the right time. It's by faith. I mean, if you climb on an aeroplane and you fly to America or to Europe, that aeroplane shouldn't crash. Why? Because you're on it. Because if you're in the will of God, if God tells you to go to Europe or God tells you to go to America, and He says, I want you to go and preach the gospel or start a business or do something, surely He's not going to allow the aeroplane to crash. Your organization, if you're working for someone, that organization should be blessed because you're there. Because if you're in the will of God, God blesses you. But just like with Joseph, God didn't just bless Egypt. He blessed the entire known world of the day. In Egypt, he was in a heathen country. But Pharaoh had great respect for him. Don't you think it's time that in the business world, Pharaoh out there, the receiver of revenue, should have respect for these Christians because their books and their taxes and everything is up to date and spotless? People we do business with, large corporations. Yeah, it should be like that. It's got to get back to that. God is, it's a new season, people. And we've got to get out of that mindset and out of that system of doing things. And if we yield it to the Spirit of God and if we're obedient, He's going to raise us up parallel to the system that exists. And they're going to look at us and say, but how does this work? They will want to know. But we've got to set an example. We are entering a time of unprecedented outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the earth. This new season necessitates that we must migrate from the old to the new, which God is ushering into the earth. Remember? The stork flies to the different season. You and I have to migrate by the Spirit of God to this new season. Let's have a look at Isaiah 43. Jesaja 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 from verse 18. Do not remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? Do you not perceive and know it? By now, we know. It's the third time I'm speaking on the new season. I'm sure we all perceive now that we're in a new season. And will you not give heed to it? Yes, we will give heed to it, Lord. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So even though it looks like a jungle out there, and maybe for Donnie it looks like a jungle out there sometimes when he does the landscaping. He says he will make the way. But there's a condition, verse 18. Do not remember, that the Amplified says, do not earnestly remember. In other words, don't meditate and think, well, you know, it used to be so good and this and this and this. Yes, things were very good. I remember in the 60s. I mean, things were really prosperous. And I think it's about 7 years ago, a prophet in Pretoria gave a word, and he said, the Lord said, when you see the rains, again like in the 60s, that will be the sign that I am restoring the economy of South Africa to the way it was in the 60s and better. So what are we seeing? This is it. The same prophet had a vision, and a vision was confirmed by someone in his congregation. He saw himself walking down, what's that street where the Reserve Bank is? Church Street or one of those streets. And he was walking next to the Reserve Bank, that big black building. And as he was walking there, he looked and he saw this massive angel, which was much taller than this building. And he was standing with his wings outstretched. I mean, he was so massive, it was like covering the city kind of effect. And as he was looking around him, he saw them as brokers, people that work with shares and those stocks and all those kind of things. And even though they were clothed in their suits and so on, and the one specific one he said had a briefcase in his hand, but he was walking with a slouched, in a slouched kind of way, and he was dragging his feet, and he was walking like this with his face down like this. And then he said, he saw this angel, and the angel started turning like that, and the one wing came over the Reserve Bank. And as he was turning like that, gold was falling across the city and onto the Reserve Bank. Everything turned to gold. And as it touched this man, this broker that was walking in the street, all of a sudden his face just lit up, and he started leaping and jumping up and down with amazing joy and stuff. And he took his briefcase, when students finish their varsity or whatever, and he took his briefcase and he just chucked it up in the air, and the man was going absolutely bananas, as we say. I can't remember if the briefcase turned to gold. But anyway, these words were, they discerned with their prophetic presbytery, they sat down, and that's what the Lord said. And so we're in that season. God already said then. So it's time for us to press into that. Amen. We're in that season. It's a change of season. And God's been confirming it, and he's been telling us, don't remember the former things. Yes, we can, but it was so tough, and then in 1960 it was so wonderful. That was just a sign. There's much greater things going to happen. Much greater things are going to happen. But we've got to enter in by faith. It's not going to become easier to walk by faith. Otherwise, we wouldn't need faith. The challenges become bigger. But it's faith. As your faith grows, you take bigger things. You take it on for God as he instructs you. We've got to do that. So don't remember the old things in that sense. Don't build your life on it. Remember the mistakes you made. Remember some of the things that happened so that you don't do them again. Learn from those things. But we press forward. We look towards Christ. Amen. The change of season. Remember I said in the previous times, I said the change of season is like being between two waves at the beach. And when you're between the two waves, you only knee deep most of the times in the water, and you kind of challenged, well, maybe I should go this way, or maybe I should go that way. Don't be fazed by what you see. Just carry on doing what you know to do, and that is to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3. Let's have a look at Philippians. Philippians 3 verse 7. But whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me. Yes, we all built our businesses. We built our lives on certain things that caused us to have gain, to have reward. Apply it to your business. I mean, we can apply this to spiritual things, our relationship with Christ, but let's apply it to business. Those things that worked before, you've got to trust God for new and fresh strategies because you've got to believe for bigger things. I mean, a small spade can just do so much, but if you need a back actor or something, a massive grader or something, to fill up a large truck, lorry, tipper, a normal spade is going to take you a long time. So you discard the old spade. Yes, it served its purpose at the time. You could fill up a wheelbarrow with it, and you did whatever you did. But it's not the season of the wheelbarrow anymore. It's big time. There's so many more people in the world that need to hear Christ. We need millions and millions and millions to preach the gospel. Bible schools and churches and whatever is needed. People need to be fed. But whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as lost for Christ's sake. Follow God's plan for your life. What worked for you before will only work in a small measure for you now. You've got to, in this season, think bigger, believe bigger, expand your thinking, renew your mind. Verse 8, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Now more than ever, you've got to know the Lord. You can't just go on your knowledge of business. You know, some of the counsel that we've given, Annika and I, that we've given to businessmen and women and people in government and so on, I spoke by the Spirit because I don't know a lot of stuff about their situations and so on. I speak by the Spirit. I've got to know the Lord because I don't know every kind of business, but I can discern certain things. I can flow within what God has called me to do, so I can speak into someone's life and say, the Lord is saying this. In this very auditorium, I prophesied over a woman and said to her, God has given you an invention. And I mean, her eyes were the size of saucers. She said, yes, I've got this invention. And I said to her, the Lord says, you better work with that invention. That is what's going to make you wealthy. Yeah, we started the meeting that day here at 10 o'clock, eh? At 5:30, the meeting finished. It was one of those meetings. And I remember that one situation. An invention. Philippians 4. Let's have a look. Verse 13 of Philippians 4. Paul says, I do not consider, brethren or sistren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. This goal that he's striving for. Okay, he's talking about Christ-likeness and knowing Christ. But you've got to know Christ in your business situation. Christ manifests himself in that business situation in a business way. The blessing that comes is Christ manifesting himself in a business-like way, whether it be new products or new contacts or whatever. That's the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting himself. But that happens because you know him personally. So the goal is to know him. But applying it to the change of season, I do not consider that I've captured and made it my own yet. You and I have not captured and made it our own yet, that which he has for us in our business, in our ministry. We have not captured it yet. We're just getting into that. It's a new season, so some of our purpose is being changed, and we shared about that before. We've got to determine what he wants from us. And then he says, one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward. Straining forward, notice that. Straining forward. Because there's a lot of stuff and a lot of people that will want to pull you back. The moment you start rising up in society, and unfortunately sometimes in the church as well, because people discern you incorrectly. They might think you're proud or something like that. Oh, it's after the money or whatever. No, you're just rising up for Christ. Christ is exalting you. And so there is this pull. Because they want you to be mediocre. They just want you to be like them. Because people are fearful of somebody who takes the lead. They are fearful of that. Especially when there's new things that come. I mean, remember when the internet came out. Oh, this is so evil, and it's going to be this and that. And yes, it's used for evil. So is a TV used for evil. So is money used for evil. Doesn't make the money evil. Doesn't make the TV evil. I mean, look at anything. There's so many things you can say, well, you know, it's being used for evil. But the moment that you rise up, something will try and pull you down. The enemy will raise up people to try and pull you down. But you've got to strain forward. Press into that place in Christ. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Paul says, I press on. That tells you. He's pressing on. And he's maybe pushing against a wall or some obstacle. He's pushing. Press on. Forwards. Towards the goal to win the supreme prize, which is God, which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward for. We are not just created to live in heaven. If we were created to live in heaven, he wouldn't even bother to make the earth. We are earth creatures, and he wants us to dominate the earth. That original instruction that he gave Adam and Eve. Rule over the earth. Dominate the earth. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10. They speak of the removing of the old to make way for the new. Remember, he was comparing the Old Testament or the Old Covenant with the new one. And then the new one fulfilled things in the old. And so things were being changed because of the new covenant. The new replaced the old one. And it's a new and better covenant. I mean, it's like you have an old Morris Minor, but that doesn't take you to Cape Town too often anymore. So you need something that's going to do that a lot quicker, faster, much more reliable. So that new vehicle replaces that old one. That old one was very good for its time and season, but you need to accomplish so much more. And so the new covenant fulfilled and replaced the old. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9. You see, in this new season, old things are being replaced. And it's sometimes scary for us, especially in business. New technology comes forth. You've been selling or marketing an old product in a certain way. And all of a sudden they say, that model, we do not make it anymore. And you say, but that has been my top seller. Sorry, we don't make it anymore. We've got a better one. And then you look at the new one, and it comes with a thick handbook that you've got to study now. It does a whole lot of things a whole lot of better, and it's just so much better for everybody involved. But now you've got to expand your thinking. You've got to learn this thing. It's like computers. The first computers that came out, if you think about them now, I mean, a cell phone is more clever than those things. The processors that they have in cell phones, I mean, what do they have? 286, 386 processors? Something like that. The memory that's in a cell phone is bigger than the old computers. And we never thought that the computers would be where they are today. And we have to wrap our minds around it. We have to learn new things. So there's this product. Now all of a sudden, oh my goodness, the product doesn't exist. It's a new product now. It's a new product line. Now I'm in this business and I know that this thing is going to still be my top seller, but now I really have to train myself. I have to renew my mind. So it's a challenge for you. You have to expand yourself. It's uncomfortable. And that's where we're at. It's uncomfortable. It's like a woman that gives birth or is pregnant. We're at that time. The baby, the head is crowning. Mommy's been walking for 9 months, and the closer the ninth month comes, the more mommy, oh, won't you just rub my back over here, and I just need to lie down. And then she can't lie on the right side, and she can't lie on the left-hand side. She can't sit up. She can't lie down. She just can't decide. And no, those oranges that you gave me is better. Just bring me a bag of marshmallows. I just want marshmallows. And then she eats the marshmallows for 3 days. No, they make me not feel well. I need chocolate bars now. And 3 o'clock in the morning, you better find me chocolate bars, boy. Because something's happening. There's some new life going to come forth. And that's where we're at. So things are uncomfortable. Not only in the natural, but spiritual. More changes taking place per day now than ever before in history. And you and I can only accommodate those changes by walking in the Spirit and having the mind of Christ. We went to visit my parents this weekend, and they just don't have very old cell phone, and they have very old equipment. My father said, it's just too much. I can't remember all of this stuff. And I said to him, but it makes life so much easier. You can do so much more. Just with a little bit of effort. Just a little bit of effort. He can make life for himself much easier in his business and so on. But they're afraid of it. Afraid of Big Brother is going to control their life. And Hebrews 10. We're talking about the changes that are taking place. They are a challenge, but you negotiate them by faith. Hebrews 10 verse 9. He then went on to say, lo, here I am, come to do your will. That's Jesus, right? He said to the Father, I'm here to come and do your will. Thus, he does away with and annuls the first or the former order, so that he might inaugurate and establish the second or the latter order. Jesus came to do that. So change is here to stay. If Jesus is involved in your life, you can expect some seasonal changes every now and then. But right now, we are in a major change of season that affects everybody. Now, just to expound a little bit, he then went on to say, lo, here I am, come to do your will. Thus he does away with. If you go and look in the Greek, the he does away with, it's a violent taking away. It's as if I approach Hofina and I grab him by the scruff of the neck there and I say, go outside. And I force him, and I mean, he trips and I pick him up by his belt, you know, and I push him out. Violently, I take him outside. It says there that he violently came and did away. God violently changed season when Christ was crucified. That was violent, man. There were uprisings there in Jerusalem and etc. And there, all sorts of stuff was happening. And Jesus was violently taken. And it takes violence. It's pretty violent now in business. Financially, economically, it's violent. And you need to be able to accommodate that by faith. You've got to walk in the Spirit in this thing, because if you really look in the natural, you're going to become scared. Fear is going to rise in your heart. Thus he does away with violently, and he's violently doing away with an old order now. And he annuls the first order. So he's removing. Remember, Paul said, forget those things. Isaiah 43 said, do not earnestly remember those things. You've learned through those things. They've helped you to this point. But now, move into the future. He has removed this first order so that he might inaugurate and establish the second order. And in the Greek, establishing the second order means to stand up. If I say to Howard, Howard, please stand up. Stand. That's what it means. It means to stand up. But it also implies resurrection. So, when he takes away something, when he removes an old order, an old season, and we move into the new, true to Christ's nature, it's resurrection. That word there says, he takes away the old and he establishes the new one. The establishing of the new one is resurrection. That's what the Greek says. Resurrection. Man, that's power. So we're entering into that. But you've got to do it by faith. So you're going to see resurrection power operating in your business when you listen to him who is the resurrection and life. And you do and you obey according to what he tells you. He takes away the first. It's put to death like Jesus was. Completely taken away. And he came by his own life. Resurrection power. And that's what we're saying. Dedicate your entire life. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. Dedicate your entire self to the Lord. Renew your mind with the word of God. There's a resurrection life right now that you and I can enter into. And we've got to do it as the body of Christ, as God's business people. You can walk in that resurrection life. You can walk into a business and pray for somebody and them get healed. Who cares if they fall down under the power of God? in the foyer of this business. I mean, we've seen stuff like that. And people look now, why is this person lying? They said, must we call an ambulance? I said, no, it's the power of God. The what? The power of God. Okay, and then they just walk off. We need to walk in that, man. You need not to be scared. You need to be able to walk into a place and then God just touches them. You haven't even opened your mouth. That's the resurrection power that you and I can walk in. It's ordained for us to walk in that. Praise the Lord. Another 2 minutes and we're there. The only way you and I can accommodate this change of season in our lives is by flexing our spiritual wings and soaring on the winds of the Spirit. We must enter by faith. Fly with the Spirit and you won't miss this season. All right, let's just start what we're going to get into next week. For many, this change of season is a time of severe crisis. But look at your own life right now. You look at some of your deals that you're busy, oh man, it's a crisis, and then this is not right, and then that's not right. But you know what? Then we go to the Lord, we pray, and we entrust it to the Lord, and all of a sudden the crisis is solved. But it is a crisis. And you know who it's a crisis for? It's not for the Lord, it's for you. And He uses the crisis situation to grow your faith, to increase your faith, because you've got to believe yourself out of it. You've got to believe higher than that crisis. Because once you've done that, you can believe for others. I mean, if you look back now 20 years, some of the things you faced 20 years ago, you can't imagine that you complained and worried so much about things 20 years ago. Why? Because you didn't see, you didn't hear, you didn't keep your ear on the spiritual railway track of the Lord. For many, this change of season is a time of severe crisis. And we've had a number of phone calls, as I said before, many phone calls, in fact. What's going on? What's going on? We're trying to hear what the Lord is saying. Tell us what's going on. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. From verse 17 to verse 19. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. It says there, and we all know the scripture, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? But you know what? Some of us do not obey the gospel of God. So there's some what do they call it? Wrap you over the knuckles. From the Lord's going to happen. Yeah. But you know what? This season now, there's not enough time for you to work this thing out for the next 5 or 10 years. You've got to make some decisions now. You enter into this thing, otherwise you'll miss your season. And what the Lord said to us, some people will never enter into their season. Some young people. If they don't enter into it now, they will never get it. They will never enter the fullness of what God has for them. So how much more for us? We better just get it. We'll get with the program. Verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, that word saved or salvation, salvation has to do with God's blessing. It's not just your spiritual salvation. Yes, when you get saved, salvation starts the day that you get saved. You are being saved progressively, the scripture teaches us. From the day that you become born again, you are progressively being saved. You are being transformed into the image of Christ. That is being saved. And as you're being transformed into the image of Christ, the blessings of God come upon your life more and more and more, because you become wise, you become full of insight and discernment. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And we need to look at our own lives. Where are we not towing the line with God? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well doing. Firstly, verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. You and I are the house of God. That word judgment, there are two Greek words for it. Crisis, K-R-I-S-I-S, crisis. And the other word is crima, crime, crima. Somebody that's committed a crime. Amen. The judge or the magistrate makes a judgment and says, this is what's going to happen to you. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. You and I must judge our lives according to the way God thinks. Remember, we spoke about it last time. Judgment also means the way He thinks about us. We need to judge ourselves, renew our minds with these thoughts, and then we judge and decide about our own lives. But for the time has come that judgment or crisis must begin at the house of God. We're at a crisis. For many people, this is a crisis. We get phone calls of people that say, I want to end my life. I don't know what's going on. It's crisis time. Then we say, press into God, pray, fast, do whatever. And then a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later, no, I did what you said. I'm hearing what God is saying. Wow, it's so awesome. All of a sudden, I've got vision for my life. My purpose has been redefined. Remember, He's taken away the old. And if your trust is in the old way of doing things, it becomes a crisis because you cannot see what's going on in front of you. It's a crisis. And God allows that crisis, people. He allows it. He wants us to grow. Must begin with us. We must negotiate that crisis. And then verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. Now please, this is not the poverty and the sickness and disease kind of suffering. Because He says in the same verse, wherefore let them suffer according to the will of God. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls. As a believer, in the marketplace, your soul suffers. Why? Because you've got to deny your soul its carnal desires. No, man, I'll just pay this person under the table, then I know I'll get the deal. That's what your soul says to you. And so you say, no. And guess what your soul does? It's a suffering. Your soul starts getting depressed on you and starts saying, you know, this is not nice. But you know what? Now we're not going to be able to do that and this and this and this. And the soul suffers. That's the suffering. So commit your soul. He says, commit your soul to Him. Yeah. We suffer in our souls. That's the suffering. Poverty, sickness, and all of that stuff. That's not the suffering. The suffering is in your soul. And next week we'll get into that a little bit. Because that's where the temptation comes. And remember at the beginning, the first meeting I said, we need to become single-minded. We have had in the church, as believers, a dualistic mindset. It's God against the devil and the devil against God. No, no, no. God overcame. Jesus Christ defeated Him once and for all. The biggest enemy, it's not the devil out there. The biggest enemy is the one that's sitting right there where you're sitting. And right here where I'm standing. That's the thing. Because double-mindedness. Should I do this or should I do that? Should I do this? No, but this would be nice if I do this. You know, I'll get that. You know. Single-minded in Christ. Amen. We'll continue on from here next week. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Father, we thank You that as Your word declares, You've written this on the tablets of our hearts. Father, we thank You for Your anointing that breaks and destroys every yoke that holds us back from entering into the fullness of that which You have for us. Thank You, Lord, that You will bring to our remembrance this word. Thank You, Lord, that we're negotiating this change of season by faith. Father, we thank You that we're discerning accurately between the flesh and the spirit. And between the dictates of our soul and the spirit. Father, we thank You that we become single-minded in our pursuit of You and Your will for our lives. Father, we give You praise, honor, and glory for that new thing You are doing in our spirits and in our lives. And we expect, Lord, mighty testimonies of Your hand and what You're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.